starts out, before he writes the Perush HaMishnah, he starts out with a poem. That's like standard fare by most Svardi Rishonim. Standard fare. The Chovos HaLevavos has a poem he wrote before the Sefer. The Ramban has a poem before Perush HaRamban Al HaTorah. That was standard. That was like, I don't know, whatever it may be, but that was standard accepted practice among Svardi Rishonim. We don't really find it by Ashkenazi Rishonim. Wait a second. There's one like slight exception. Rashi writes a sort of poetic introduction to Shir Shirim, but it's very different. The Svardi style was Svardi Rishonic style was much more like, you know, using mainly Tanakhic Hebrew with some Mishnaic Hebrew mixed in. The Ashkenazi style is Be'ikvus Reblazar Kalir. Reblazar Kalir is a great Paitan. I believe Svarim do say a couple of his Piyutim, but Ashkenazim are like, we don't say, you know, the Piyutim, the most, we don't have any Yakas here. Do we have any Yakas? Yakas? No? Okay. Yakas, Oberlanders, and Chassidim still say, quotes, the Yotzefs, which are very long editions. On Yatif and Chagim, they say them, and on the four or five Shabbos.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Hasidus Shul.
And they said it in. Yeah. Wait a second. I had guys last year, last days of Pesach, I was in the Tanya by my mother-in-law. I had three guys, I think three Shraga guys. Maybe it was four. It's hard to remember. I had three or four Shraga guys. I think it was three. And I warned them very clearly that there's only one minion. We were saying we're in Kiryat Sanz. So there's one minion that doesn't say Yotzos. Everyone else does, and it's going to take them forever. So the one minion davens at 8 o'clock, and if you miss it, you're not going to finish davening until 12. Just because they have so much to say, it's going to take a long time. Whatever. I won't tell you how many of them made it and how many didn't make it, but they were warned. The Yotzos primarily, the main pieces of the Yotzos written by Reb Elazar Kalir. Everything else, even if it's not written by Reb Elazar Kalir, is based on Reb Elazar Kalir. Reb Elazar Kalir took Kol Torah Kulo, mixed it together, he made chalak, made chamin out of it, mixed it together, and then just throws it out of his fingers at you. He mixes Mishnah, Midrash, Psukim, Mishnah, Midrash, he like combines the whole thing, worked it over, and he spews it out at you. And that is the style of Reb Elazar Kalir and the Ashkenazi Rishonim, who will rarely write a poem, will write it in Kaliric style rather than the Sephardi style, is a simpler, easier to follow poetic style, which is sort of mimicking Tanakh. Okay. So Ram starts out with a poem. The first part of the poem, the Rambam says, I'm going to paraphrase and only read some of the key parts, which like very I found very touching. The first part of the poem, the Rambam invites whoever is interested in learning, who's ever interested in Torah, to come and learn his parish on the Mishnah.
I got a blessing.
The Rambam calls us to learn Torah, and he says, as long as you haven't been overly influenced. And here he uses a very interesting phrase. He says, Asher lo hera olav ol melech gadol, v'lo shocha tachtov, v'lo hishu mashiyov, v'lo hayem futov. Anyone who did not have the yoke of that great king come over him, who has not been crushed underneath him, who has not been tricked by his trickery, and not seduced by his seducings. So who's the Rambam talking about? The Rambam's talking about the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. Whoever has not been overly influenced by it should come. Okay. So the Rambam's talking about the great king, the great dominator. Everything we do, whether we like it or not, the Yetzer Hara has a say in it. And that's a real life work, trying to come up with some approach.
Look at this guy.
Not to be overwhelmed.
Nice air conditioning.
Not to be overwhelmed by the different attacks of the Yetzer.
Rabbi, you don't have the
Everyone does. We'll see. When we really start Sefer Melachim, we'll see the real. We'll talk about that, but not quite yet. The greatest weaponry we have, Chazan. The greatest weaponry we have in our fight against the Yetzer Hara is Torah. That's the greatest weapon we have. That's the most powerful. All the mitzvahs help, but Torah helps even more. Gemara Sota says, "Ner mitzvah v'Torah or." If you're in a dark room, you put on a candle that makes a little bit of light. But Torah is or, it's a lot of light. It's like electric light, Keely, if you think of it in modern terms. And that's the greatest power we have. Okay. So now it goes on and he says, you should come and learn the Mishnah. Learn what I've said. Learn what I'm working on. It's full of a lot of nice, important things. V'yena, now it goes back, and the Rambam describes the Mishnah. V'yena mikaren bin shanem v'lach nolechem abirim ko'ochlo chelko shomeh. The wine of Torah is from like a very prime, choice vineyard. It's the bread of Torah is the greatest of breads. Whoever eats it gets really satisfied. V'tamu k'tam l'shad hashamed. And its taste is like l'shad hashamed. That is without question on purpose. The Rambam is mimicking Lashon HaMikra. Lashon HaMikra, what's called l'shad hashamed? K'tam l'shad
hashamed.
The man. Very good, the man. Tamu k'tam l'shad hashamed. Tamu k'tam l'shad hashamed is like man. It says both. So the Rambam is saying, when you really understand Torah, we'll see the sweetness of Torah, and that will really help us. Then it goes on, the Rambam goes on to tell us what the Mishnah is. This is the Mishnah, Asher Sharim Ravoseichem, Ubeir Hagdoros, Asher Godru Haroim Minhal Ravoseichem, The Mishnah has in it the main structure of Torah, the definitions, the Hagdaros, the definitions, has the different dinim, the different laws, the different minhagim, the different derabbanan, things that the derabbanan were masakim, the derabbanan may, min hayam asher tziva Hashem b'har l'adaroseichem, everything is included in the Mishnah.
Are you
taping
this?
What? Yes, I am.
The problem
taping. Ani Meishe Ben Amai. Now I'm going to go on, but the Rambam is going to describe his work in the Mishnah. Ani Moshe Ben Maimon Hasvari Ben Yisil. I made this. I built this. Umiyam Hatamun Mishisil. I took it out of Shas. Misapir Hatosefta. Sapir is sapphire. From the sapphires of the Tosefta, I based it. Ubapuch Sifer Ribatztil, I carpeted it with things I learnt from the Sifra. Umizab Sifri Titachtil, and I coated it with the gold of the Sifra of the Sifri. Uvidiba Yagaru Smachtil, Ukikesafatzar Zikaktil. I also based myself on what the Gaonim said before me. Kekesef atzaruf, and like pure silver, I purified it. Now, one thing we see from this, the Rambam, we said last week when we went through the Hakdama, before we spoke about it, as we know, the Rambam is probably the second most controversial person in Jewish history.
Who's the first?
David Amel.
And
then
comes Rabbi Wins.
To be
existed.
What about like
Yeah.
Please. The Rambam, second most controversial person in Jewish history.
Who, the Rambam?
The Rambam. Second most controversial person in Jewish history.
He's on your pause.
Yeah, you can make it. The Ramban, as I again mentioned last week, the Ramban defends the Rambam. And the main point of the Ramban is the Rambam's dedication to Torah. That's the main point of the Rambam, of the Ramban, about the Rambam. We want to know, did the Rambam go too far? What?
In his defense.
The Ramban, no, Nachmanides, about Maimonides, defends the Rambam. When the Ramban defends the Rambam, by saying we see his real dedication to Torah in his psak. And over here in this Hakdama to the Mishnah, the way the Rambam in such beautiful and loving terms defines, talks about the different parts of Torah, Sapir HaTosafta, the Zav of the Sufri. These are loving terms for the different parts of Torah. This is another expression of the dedication of the Rambam to Torah, and that's how we really know. You want to know, did the Rambam go too far? This is one of the reasons, one of the ways we know he didn't go too far.
What do you mean, did he go too far?
There's major controversy, and I'm pretty sure due to popular demand, after we do the Hakdama to the Mishnah, we'll see where we're holding, what time of the year we're holding by, and we will do the Rambam's Hakdama to Chelek, and you'll understand more about what I'm talking about. Right now, there's one or two places over here we're going to mention things which have some controversy to them, but the Rambam's Hakdama to Chelek is mass.
It's not true.
There are people because of the Rambam wrote.
Argue with the Rebbe too.
Torah means you're allowed to argue. For that, you get me on a side point. And the side point is like this:
the Wayne Gretzky of Torah.
Jordan, listen to the story. Listen to the story. You're getting me on a side
point. Wayne Gretzky is the hockeyist. Rebbe wouldn't see this.
No, definitely not. There's a very famous Shver Shtikl Torah in Chiddush Rabbeinu Chaim HaLevi. Sorry, my brother guessed what I said. Rabbi, that was too much yeshivish in one segment. Okay. Very difficult idea in the Rambam, and not in the Rambam, in Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim, you know Reb Chaim Brisker?
Father of the greatest Jewish dynasty ever,
there's a very it's really pertinent to the 10th parak in Adarim and the 2nd parak in Kiddushin. There's a sugya and there's a funny Rambam, and Reb Chaim says
funny.
On it funny means the Rambam doesn't really work smoothly. No. It means the Rambam doesn't work smoothly with the sugya. And Reb Chaim has there's two parts of the sugya. One part is in the Darim and in Hilchos Nadarim, and the other part is in Kiddushin and a number of other places. Kiddushin, Maestros, a number of other places. And Reb Chaim has on it an idea which is like unbelievably brilliant, It answers up the Rambam and Hilchos Nadarim so beautifully. It's like it's unbelievable. The problem is the Gemara Kiddushin about Kiddushin and about Maestros just doesn't work with Reb Chaim at all. Okay, Reb Shach, we all know who Reb Shach was?
Rosh Shiva Panovich.
That's right. He was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav was Reb Chaim's son. He was saying Shira Naira Mirasa. He came to this piece. He didn't understand Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim's very nice piece. It's very nice. But it just doesn't go with the sugya. The sugya in Kiddushin is not against Reb Chaim once, it's against Reb Chaim three times. So what do you do? So he got on a bus, he came to Yerushalayim, he went to the Brisker Rav, he said to the Brisker Rav, tell me, what's pshat? Reb Chaim, it's beautiful, it's brilliant, and it answers up the Rambam and Hilchos Nadarim unbelievably well. But the Gemara Kiddushin says just the opposite. What are you going to do with it? So the Brisker Rav said, I'll tell you what, I have the same question myself. I want you to know, I remember when Reb Chaim was writing that piece, that exact piece, he kept opening up the Gemara in Kiddushin and kept thinking about it. So even though I don't understand what Reb Chaim meant, how he meant to answer up the Gemara in Kiddushin, I certainly know that he meant to answer up the Gemara in Kiddushin. No, as we said, this is a real bit of Shemais.
Is it what?
This is a real Litva Shemaisa.
What does that mean?
Rabbi David is a real Litva. and he would love this maaseh. Tell him over the story, he'll love it. Reb Shach went back to Panovich to say shir on the on this Rambam, on the Gemara. What do you think he said?
Torah
is not chassidus. Reb Chaim doesn't make sense. We have to say our own pshat to see you. So you can ask him. Ask him.
Why is that fun? What is the? What's the?
Jordan, you'll get it. You're good. You'll get that in a couple of months. Really well. Okay.
Is that one of these?
No, it's not. That's one that as the year goes on, you'll appreciate that one more and more. Okay, let's go on. Okay. Now the Rambam over here also says. The Rambam over here also says two other things. One is the Rambam starts out by saying, everything I'm saying, I built from Shas, from the Shas, the Tosefta, the Sifri, the Sifra. The Rambam's not writing the Perush Mishnah in a vacuum. He's not looking at the Mishnah and saying, okay, let's see what I can think up. He's basing it on what was before him. But still the Rambam says, Ukekesef etzorif, zikaktihu, I purify it like pure silver, I pour it through the innards of my heart. And this is a major duality of Torah. The way the Alter from Kelm said it, and slightly in a more Emunah-based issues, is Elokeinu v'Elokeinu l'Shem. What does it mean? Most people start out, we say Elokeinu v'Elokeinu l'Shem. Elokeinu v'Elokeinu l'Shem. What does it mean? What does it mean? Elokeinu v'Elokeinu l'Shem.
Our God and the God of our forefathers.
Our God and the God of our forefathers. Our God and the God of our forefathers. What does that mean? The Alter from Kelm says, Elokeinu v'Elokeinu is that which we were told by our parents. That's the Kabbalah, the Messiah, the tradition, the Jewish tradition. Elokeinu v'Elokeinu is what we received, and what we received from a good source, and we know it's really true. Elokeinu is, even though we know it's true, we don't just leave it there. Elokeinu means we work on ourselves, even though we know it's true. We don't say, okay, it's true, and I don't think about it. It's true, and you think about it, and you come up with your own approach to come to the same conclusion. That's Elokeinu v'Elokeinu saying. Now, in Torah, it's a little different. It's similar but different. Yeah, I'm happy you have this one. As it says in the beginning of Tehillim, Ashrei Ish Asher Lo Horach La'atzus Shoshoyim V'Derech HaTam Lo Omad V'Moshev Reshem Lo Yoshav. Fortunate is the man who does not go with the Eitzah, with the advice of a Rasha, in the way of a Chotah, the way of a sinner, in the Moshev Reitzim, and of Makkos, with Makkos he doesn't sit. Ki B'Saras Hashem Chavtza, rather in God's Torah is his desire, with the Sarasa, and in his Torah, Yehege Yom V'Layla, he thinks day and night. The Gemara wants to know, why is it the first the pasuk says, "Kim b'saras Hashem chavtzo," with Hashem's Torah, God's Torah, it's His desire, and then in His Torah, He thinks day and night. So the Gemara says, before Talmud Chacham works on the Torah, it's God's Torah, it's Torah Hashem. Before Talmud Chacham works on the Torah, it's God's Torah. After He works on the Torah, it's His Torah. First, it's Torah Hashem. Before you work on it, before you have a proper approach to it, it's Torah Hashem. After you work on it, it's Torah. Now, as I don't know, you know, this is not really a joke, but it's a Musa B'dichasa, which means it's a right idea. So it's like this. It's a really challenge sometimes to sit and learn. I'm sure some of us sometimes feel challenged by it. So what I can tell you is as long as it's Torah Hashem, it's not going to be Yegei Yom V'Lai.
It's not what?
With Torah Hashem Chavtzo, you can desire Hashem's Torah all you want. But until you work on it, and you have some kin, and some, you acquire it some way, through your work, a new understanding for you in the Torah. When you come onto that, then it's your Torah. And Torah Hashem is just Chepzo. It's not Yaga Yom Vavaya. You can't think about it too much. It's God's Torah. It's over there. It's very nice. When you work on it, it's Torah also. Then it's Yaga Yom Vavaya.
It's a mess now.
Careful, Rabbi. Careful. I better get that back.
Okay. Now, one more point over here.
Rabbi card in his pocket.
One more point over here. Okay, Kesef Hatzar Zikak Tihu. The Rambam says on himself that it's like pure silver. He purified it like pure silver. There's two other Rambams, which hopefully we'll at least get to one of them. There's another one. There's two other Rambams. One is the Igros HaShmad, and the other one is the very, very end of the Hakdama Techeluk. The Rambam, if you think the Rambam just sat down to write and wrote, you're like highly mistaken. The Rambam spent...
That's what John thought.
The Rambam spent 10 years writing the Perush LaMishnah.
Wow.
10 years of the Rambams.
It's like 50 human years.
I don't know. That's the Rambam's writes in the Igros HaShmad. You listen to it? In the Igros HaShmad, the Rambam writes... No, you were saying
that's
it's not...
legitimate.
It's definitely legitimate. It's a legitimate statement. The Rambam writes in Igros HaShmad. Listen to me. The Rambam writes in Igros HaShmad that before you say something in public, you should really think and make sure you know what you're doing. Before you write something that you're going to send to public, you should go over it 1,000 times if it would be possible. And if you want to know why people are still Madaik the Rambam, you know, I'm sure if whoever's in Rabbi Rachman Shir or Rabbi David Shir definitely knows that the Rambam says one word, which you said, like, what is your problem? You know, why is that word bothering you so much? Because the Rambam didn't just write things. The Rambam thought as many times as it was physically possible for him, is this the right word or it's the wrong word? The Rambam writes in the Hakdama Techeluk. He finishes the Hakdama Techeluk, which is very beautiful, and I hope we'll do it. He says, go over this a lot of times. Chazer a lot of times. So if you go over it one time, or even 10, and you think you really understand what I'm talking about, Hashem, God knows that you're fooling yourself. That's a really unbelievable Rambam. How much the Rambam worked on, how sure he was with the amount of work he put into it, he was absolutely sure that it was something that a person's going to have to go over many times before they come to a proper understanding of it. Okay. Right, now let's start the Hakdama. That was the Rambam's poem. Well, now we're going to start the Hakdama itself. The first, from the main topics in the Hakdama. Yes, are you?
Are there any good stories we're going to hear about, like, the Rambam?
Nope.
There are very few. There are very few authentic personal stories of the Rambam.
I'm sure this is authentic. Because
there are a number of folk legends about the Rambam. The Rambam himself.
His brother.
It is true. His brother supported him. That's not folk legend. That the Rambam's brother supported him for years is absolutely true.
When did he do math?
When did the Rambam do math?
Yeah, it was like
The Rambam learned math when he was a young man.
Yeah.
When he was a young man living in Morocco. There are very few. There are some. But there are very few authentic stories of the Rambam. The Rambam would probably be very against saying over folk tales about him. So I'm not going to say over any folk tales. Sorry.
So where are some truths now?
Hopefully we'll get there. Okay.
So
the first issue, and one of the primary issues the Rambam's dealing with... One of the primary issues the Rambam's dealing with...
What?
Is... Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapa, how the two relate to each other. The Mishnah is a prime expression of Torah Shebapa. How is it, what was the process of giving over of Torah Shebapa? We know that's one of the main ikrim of Judaism, is that there's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapa. How was the Torah Shebapa given? How was it given? What was the methodology? What exactly happened?
Do you want me to say a little bit of a question?
Yeah.
No, well, it's a rhetorical question because I'm going to read the Rambam to you now. So how did he do it? How? What was what methodology did Moshe Rabbeinu use to teach Torah? So after that, we're going to go through the Rambam a little. The Rambam is basically quoting a Gemara in Erevin, Nun Dalet Amud Beis. He's basically quoting a Gemara in Erevin, Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Now, just for before we quite get to it, in case you're not quite familiar with all of the issues, Ki'ilu, in Torah Shebichsav, there are a number of clear Ramazim to Torah Shebal Peh. What? For example, yeah.
Shlita.
Shlita, excellent. Very good. Where is that?
It says, Vizavavta Kasher Tzivitifa.
Excellent.
But it never lists exactly the
That's
rules.
Very good. Excellent. That was 2 weeks ago.
Let's go!
Jordan Shachar, visit Shchita.
Jordan's right. Shchita is one of the examples. The menorah is another example. There are another couple of other examples. There's also an example in Enach, in Nevi'im. For example, in Sefer Yirmiyah, the interviewed Zion, it talks about Yirmiyah is Mazir. Yirmiyah warns the Jews to be careful and not carry on Shabbos. Don't carry on Shabbos. It only says don't do malacha on Shabbos. We know one of the Lama Tess malachas on Shabbos is Hotzah, is carrying. It doesn't say anywhere in Torah that it's carrying. This is one of the Ki'ilu, one of the Ramazim, one of the hints and proofs to the existence of Torah Shebaal Peh in Tanakh. Okay. What was the methodology? So the Rambam says, he's broadly quoting a Gemara in Erev Nadalot Amud Beis. It says, Hashem would tell Moshe Rabbeinu a mitzvah, and Moshe Rabbeinu would first say over the pasuk the way Hashem told it to him, and after that he would say over the perush. First he would say the pasuk, and then he would say the perush. How did he do it? So here's how he did it.
Whoa!
Hey!
Take it away.
First, here's how it worked. Moshe Rabbeinu first would call Aaron into the Ohel Moed. First, he would call Aharon, his brother, into the Ohel Moed and tell him the mitzvah, tell him what Hashem told him, and then the perush, the different definitions of the mitzvah, which I think we'll get to one of them tonight, but maybe not. After he explained it to Aaron, Aaron's two sons, Elazar and Isamar, came in. Aaron went to Moshe Rabbeinu's right, and his two sons, Elazar and Isamar, came in. And Moshe Rabbeinu, again, he would tell them the mitzvah, the way it said, the pasuk, and then the details about the mitzvah, who it applies to, the different definitions. We're going to hopefully see one example of this. After tonight, I hope. After he taught it, after that, Elazar and Isamar, one went to Moshe Rabbeinu's left, and the other one to the right of Aaron. Then the Shidim Skanim came in. I'm not sure.
How big was this tent, Rabbi?
Good question. Just wait a second. We'll see in a minute. You have to ask a little better. Just wait a second. The Shidim Skanim came in. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shivim Skanim, the 70 elders came in.
Zakanim.
The elders came in, and Moshe Rabbeinu, again, he said the pasuk, and then he said the perush. He said over the different limits and laws of the Mishnah to the Skanim. After the elders, I'm not sure, there's an interesting question here one could think about. Are the Skanim mentioned here, does that just mean the Sanhedrin? Or it means the 70 skanim, the Sivim Shidim skanim, mentioned in Parshas Balosa.
That were hit by the Egyptian taskmasters.
That's right. That's an interesting question. I'm not sure at the present moment. Unfortunately, a certain sefer I was looking for I couldn't find, so I didn't have time to look in other sources. Yes.
Why did Tom
have the same time? Well, we'll see. Good question. We'll see. No.
The Torah preaches inefficiency.
Afterwards, everyone came in. The Achrechem Yavor HaHamon Kol Mavakesh Hashem V'yasim Evnei HaMitzvahi At Shishmu HaKol Mipi. Afterwards, everyone came in. Kol Mevakesh Hashem. Those, they were all people who were searching for Hashem. This is, you know, Agav, that's what I said. It's, there's a lot of like side phrases in the Rambam, which are pieces of Torah in and of themselves. This is one of them. The Rambam's approach is, there's a big question how to understand the Dor HaMidbar. The Rambam's approach is everyone in the time of Dor HaMidbar were very great people. The Rambam says in Shemona Prakim, the Rambam in Shemona Prakim says the smallest of the women in the Dor HaMidbar was as great as the prophet Yechezkel.
The smallest person,
you ask me what about Dasher and Abiram, that's a good question. No, we're talking about Jewish people, not Jewish people.
Whoa.
I was understanding.
The Arab would gay or may not necessarily include, yeah, probably not include.
It specifically says that.
Korah.
Even if you choose to use your knowledge.
I wasn't able to hear.
Datan
and Abiram were Jewish. Are you asking a good question? And I'm not sure. You gave me one exception. There are two exceptions.
Maybe, Rabbi, maybe the answer is had the wisdom and the knowledge, but they
didn't
use it.
That's interesting. I'm not sure. I'll tell you a general rule of mine. Hello, Jonathan, you with me?
I prefer
to have you asking a good question according to the Rambam. Now, the Rambam says it not only over here. Over here he's calling everyone who is the Dor HaMidbar, who are called Mevakshei Hashem. People who search for God. In the Hakdamah, in Shemona Prakim, he says that the smallest one of them was on a level of prophecy. You want to know what about Dustin and Abiram? I hope that's a good question.
Korah.
Now, what I would do in such a case is, I'll think about it. I'm willing to think about the question for a couple of years even.
What?
Right here, what? I prefer to think about a good question.
One year.
We'll just have to keep in touch. John, we'll just have to keep in touch. I prefer to think about a good question.
Wait, which one of us?
Me.
I prefer to think about a good question for a couple of years rather than saying a bad answer.
But you know why?
Because you say a bad answer, you forget about the question. You say you have a good question, something like a good question, could take a couple of years to answer, and then you have the right answer. Okay, he called everyone in. Now, there's a different question here. How many Jews were in the Dor HaMidbar?
600,000.
600,000. 560. Excellent. As Chazal say, 600,000 and change. 600,000. Approximately 600,000 people. Do you think Moshe Rabbeinu was able to teach them all in one shot?
Yes. Absolutely.
I'm not sure about it. If he was, it was certainly Derech Ness, because Derech HaKeva, even if he would scream as loud as he could, I don't believe they would all be able to hear it. I'm not sure. They definitely did not have microphones. Thank you very much. They definitely did not have microphones. So wait a second. Listen. Stop. Listen now. The Rambam says, I want you to listen to the Rambam again. The Achrei Chen Yavol Hamon, the masses came, called Mevakesh Hashem, those who were all Mevakesh Hashem, the Yosef Lifnei HaMitzvah, he put the mitzvah in front of them, Ad Yishmol HaKol Mipiv, until they all were able to hear it. Now the word, if you look in the Gemara, it doesn't say that. This is an addition of the Rambam. Ad Yishmol HaKol Mipiv, until they were all able to hear it.
Until they were all able to hear
is an addition of the Rambam.
Okay.
And that seemingly implies, even though I'm not yet 100% sure about it, that seemingly implies that what Moshe Rabbeinu did, it's not that there was a mess and his voice was able to project to everybody. That happened by Matan Torah. That didn't happen after Matan Torah. What happened was, is he went around, there were probably groups of people, and he went from group to group to group, and said it over to each group. That's probably Pshat, I'm not 100% sure. We'll see, wait a second. When we go a little farther than Rabbah, I'll show you the other side of the coin. And I'm not sure. Okay. Afterwards, so the Rambam now sums up total. Nimsa comes out. Aaron heard the mitzvah from Moshe Rabbeinu four times. His sons three times. The Zkenim two times. And everyone else one time. But he started with Moshe left. Moshe left, and then Aaron started speaking. Aaron went over the mitzvah, just like Moshe did. He explained to everyone the mitzvah, what it says, what the pasuk is, what's the verse, what exactly Hashem told Moshe, and all the different definitions applicable to this verse. Why did Moshe leave? They stalled Moshe. Why did Moshe leave?
Chill out.
They stalled Moshe. Moshe left. Why did Moshe leave?
Because they all had to hear it the same amount of time.
I'm not sure. Why? I'm not sure. So I have two approaches. What? That's very good. That's one approach. Might be right.
Are just too much for me. Yeah,
that might be. That definitely could be. The reason why Moshe left, I'm going to say it over a little more. I want to say it over a little more polished. And what it's like this is when I delegate a job to you and say, I go do this, this, and this. If I go after you and watch to make sure you do it, it's not right. That's chisson derech eretz. That's bad manners. I say to you, okay, Jordan, I need a drink of water. I shouldn't go walk after you. I don't need a drink of water.
Okay.
If I would walk after you to make sure you get me the drink, then that's like I'm practically insulting you. A good shliach, as Pasuk says initially, a good shliach does what you tell him to do. So he gave the job to Aaron. He knew Aaron was going to do it. So he leaves the job over time. Now, there's another approach, but I didn't have time to hit me the last minute. I'm not sure about this.
Take it out now.
I'm not sure about this.
It's recording. What are you doing?
I'm not sure about
you
this.
You have a recording.
I have a recording. You have a recording. You can have it. I'm really not sure about this, but it could be there was an isser for Aaron to say over to teach Torah from Moshe. That's right. There's an isser to say a halacha lifnei rabo, and maybe the reason why Moshe had to leave is in order that Aaron should have the rights to say over the halacha. So I'm not sure.
Are you embarrassed? How that applies when somebody did what? Somebody told you?
Why
you
recording
that?
No, I'm recording. That's. I want to go a little farther. After Aaron said it, Aaron left, and his sons then taught the halacha to everybody. Again, they said over the pasuk, and then they said over the perush. They explained it, and they explained it to everyone. And then they left, and the Shivim Skanim went and did the same thing. They went around to everyone and set over the pasuk and the perush. So it comes out. But
it sounds like it took 3 months for them to learn one law.
Probably not. Probably one law day or so, something on those lines. It comes out, as the Rambam says, Aaron heard it. Aaron heard it 4 times from Moshe. His sons heard it 3 times from Moshe, 1 time from Aaron. The Skanim heard it 2 times from Moshe, 1 time from Aaron, 1 time from Elazar and Itamar. And the Haman Aaron, everyone else heard it 1 time from Moshe, 1 time from Aaron, 1 time from Elazar, 1 time from Elazar and Itamar, and 1 time from the Shivim Skanim. 1 time from the Shivim Skanim. Yeah, that's done.
Why did
I just
learn so many times?
Oh, the Gemara, the Rambam doesn't bring this. I said it. I remember when I first started learning Gemara, I walked about 30 years ago. So there's an old Jewish tradition, which is why are there 4 lines on the top?
When you first started learning Gemara?
Yeah.
When
he was
4,
he's
only
24. He is
a Gaon.
He's a
Gadol. Okay, definitely not. Now, when I first started learning Gemara, my Rebbe told me that's why there are 4 lines on the top of the Rashi. Because you have to learn everything 4 times. Okay.
Just like now,
I'll tell you what.
Levels of Torah.
Now, the truth is the Gemara in Erevin, when the Gemara brings this, even though the Rambam doesn't bring the conclusion of it, even though the Gemara doesn't bring the conclusion of the Gemara, the Gemara says, as you see from here, you're supposed to learn something 4 times. If Moshe taught it to Aaron 4 times, and Aaron heard it from Moshe, the great teacher.
40 days, 40 nights.
And this, again, everyone who heard it there heard it four times from great teachers. Certainly, a normal person teaching a normal person should go over it four times. That's kilo halacha.
Four times 2 and 3.
When you're supposed to teach Torah, but you're supposed to teach and learn Torah is by not just going over it once, it's by going over it at least four times. As they say, until you went over it four times, you're learning it at once.
It's not even close to me.
Okay. Okay. Now I just want to go one more little piece, and then we're going to stop for the night.
No,
by showed
no.
you a sermon about Kol Yisrael, and the sermon went around, went around through the Jewish people, and they made sure that everyone understood what exactly he says in the pasuk. And what the exact parish is.
So where do we go wrong? Why do we now have like 100?
We're going to get the Rambam. He's going to deal with Machlokas. We're going to get to it, let's say, in about...
2 days.
No, not two days. 3 days. In about... You'll see. You'll ask me on Saturday. Ask me after you get from the garage room. Ask me. I'll make an estimate.
I'll ask
you
tonight.
Okay.
We have this shit.
Okay. Now, we're going to get to Machlokas. The Rambam talks about Machlokas. We're going to get to Machlokas later. Machlokas is a very fascinating issue, and we're going to speak about it. I'll speak about Berichas, don't worry. Okay? But right now, I want to know what Berichas means at length. Right now, I want to know what the Rambam says that the Sarim went around and made sure everyone knew what was going on. Who are the Sarim? So I think when the Rambam says the Sarim, he means like we see in Parshas Yisro. Yisro said, Sarim, Chamishim, and Sarim. Those ministers went around. They went around to make sure that everyone knew it well, and after they understood everyone knew it well, then they went on. Okay, fine. Well, fine, guys.